理课堂听 class.com
Studio Classroom is on the air. It's advanced time, so stay tuned for another article on William and Harry. In advance today, we're going to continue talking about William and Harry. And we don't even have to say who they are because they are the heir and the spare to what country?
To Great Britain.
That's right. And what's their last name?
Wales.
Okay, so we have to find out who they are. And I think we're going to have our expert here today, at least someone from England, because she's an expert because she's brought up there. So she knows how the people feel. And we're glad to have you with us again today, Melissa, on our panel here.
Oh, it's great to be here.
But, you know, when people talk about Prince William and Prince Harry, do they ever think of their last name?
I had never thought, Doris, about their last name. So when I read and studied this article, I was a bit surprised their last name was Wales.
I wonder about that, though. I think the royal families have had, you know, actual surnames. And I'm a little skeptical about this being the surname because their father was the Prince of Wales. But really, that just meant he was the Prince of the Country Wales.
Right.
That was his title. So I don't know. Maybe now they're just using this because they don't want to use their real name.
So what is their father's last name?
Yeah, I don't know. Have you ever heard it, Melissa?
I've never read it.
We don't hear people's last names. We just hear who they are.
That we've always just heard Prince Charles of Wales.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to have a good discussion today on this. And thanks for coming again, Melissa. I'm sure that you don't mind talking about William and Harry. They're pretty interesting young people,
aren't they? Yes, they are, actually. Very compelling, very engaging young men.
Right. So we're glad to have you here. And, of course, I know that Rick likes articles like this, don't you, Rick?
Yes, I do. It's very interesting seeing how royalty lives because that's just another window to a life that we all would like to experience at one time.
And in review today, as we talk about our article on pages 35 and 36, we'll be on page 36 today, I'm going to ask Pam to tell us what we learned about the personalities of these young people.
Well, we began finding out in the last lesson that the boys are very different. Now, most siblings, most brothers and sisters are very different in personality. William is now 20 years old. Harry is now 18 years old. But we found out that William is an excellent student. Melissa said perhaps a straight A student. He's also an athlete. He's sensitive. He's level-headed, and he's also adventurous. Harry, on the other hand, our article described him as impish and outgoing. Impish is someone who likes to have fun, but it might be a little bit naughty, you know.
Kind of a tease.
Right, a little bit of a tease. He's a live wire, it said. Now, this, to me, sounds like someone who has a lot of energy and is very active. He's a wonderful athlete. Anyone who talks about Harry says that he's a great athlete.
But he's not that great on the books. He's not really good in the scholarly pursuits, you could say. But he's fearless on horseback or skis.
That's right.
So it sounds like they are different in a way, and yet I'm sure that these two boys are not only brothers, but they are good friends because they've gone through so many things together.
That's right, Doris. We talked about some of the things yesterday that they've been through. They went through the scandals of their parents' marriage breaking up. Then the worst thing of all, they experienced the death of their mother. But our writer said they lived through it, they've survived it, and they've thrived. In other words, they've gone on to grow and be healthy and successful.
I think they leaned on each other. Even through all the hard times, you resort to your family to get you through the tough times, and they have each other, and so I think they're very close.
Very close as brothers, that's right. So open your magazines now. I hope you all have a copy of Advance Magazine. Perhaps some of you are driving a car and you can't open your magazine or put your MP3 in or whatever. But anyway, we want you to study along with us today as we talk about his naughtiness grows up. And naughtiness is just a sheltalpy, isn't it?
Right.
They grow up. So we're going to be reading now the very first column of our lesson.
his naughtiness grows up. Prince William arrived first on June 21, 1982. Young Wills was nicknamed his naughtiness for his mischievous early behavior. He once flushed his father's shoes down the toilet. At 1.88 meters, 6 feet 2 inches, with his mother's blonde hair, cobalt eyes, and shy smile, William is storybook handsome. But his demeanor is decidedly down to earth. He is asked to be called simply William Wales while at St. Andrews, shelving for his future time the HRH, His Royal Highness, to which he's entitled. Perhaps the clearest evidence of the future king's low-key approach was his decision to spend his gap year before college participating in some non-glamorous, non-regal projects where he would be treated just like anybody else.
And Doris, I remember all the excitement on TV and around the world, really, when young Wills, as they called him, was born in June of 1982.
That's an heir to the throne, a man, a young boy, right?
That's right.
Quite
That's
exciting. Right. Was it that way over in London, Dave?
Oh, I think it was. I was still very young then, but I do remember my mom showing me the pictures in the newspapers, the publicity shots of his mom and, you know, holding the baby. Very cute.
Well, when Charles and Diana got married, that was a very fairy tale setting, and it was very nice. So everybody a lot of people watched the wedding on TV, and so when they had the baby, it wasn't just Charles and Diana's baby, it was England's baby.
That's right.
That's right.
But he was just like a lot of little kids are, mischievous. Mischievous doesn't mean you're really bad. It just likes you like to play tricks and have fun. And a lot of people are mischievous. Not only boys, but sometimes little girls are mischievous.
Well, that's right. I mean, this is sometimes just normal behavior for little children, especially if they have a little bit of a sense of humor. It sounds like he does, and he enjoyed playing tricks because they tell us he flushed his father's shoes down the toilet.
I don't know how big the toilet was to be able to flush shoes down. I don't know that you could flush them down. To flush means to get them to go all the way down through the toilet. Must have been better than the toilets we have in Asia.
Right.
I couldn't flush shoes down those, right?
That's
but anyway, he did try. He put them in there and tried to flush them down. But he looked a bit like his mother, everybody says. And he's certainly very tall.
He's very tall. And Doris, you know, I'm the mother of two teenage daughters, so they sort of think that he's quite handsome, too. The writer describes him as being 1.88 meters. He has his mother's blonde hair. We all remember how pretty she was. And her cobalt blue, this is just a very deep blue, eyes and the shy smile.
And, of course, being, you know, a prince, I mean, well, what young girls wouldn't think he was quite, you know, the one, right?
That's right, and he's also described as storybook handsome, and I'm sure it's not just any storybook that we're thinking about. It's like a fairy tale. He's like that prince in a shining armor that we all want to marry, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Another way to describe storybook is movie star handsome, whereas he's just extremely handsome.
Well, and then his demeanor, which is just the way he acts, it's decidedly down to earth, and Yvonne wants to say something about that.
Decidedly, 就是 surely, definitely in an obvious way, 绝对的, 明显的. Here is an example.
When Amy lost her wallet, she looked decidedly worried.
Okay, that's one word. And also, he has to be called William Wales. And I never really think about them as William and Harry Wales. I never think about their last name at all, do you?
It's not that important. They don't need a last name because everybody instantly recognizes who they are just by their first name.
That's right. And I think even with other royal families of the world, all you have to do is say Prince so-and-so of and add the country, and everyone knows exactly who you're talking about. You don't need the last name.
You don't have to say their last names at all. That's true. So, you know, while they were at St. Andrews, well, it says shelving for a future time. Yvonne likes to say something about that, too.
Shelving something for a period of time. Shelf 这个动词就是
put something on a shelf and not use it.
至于架上搁置的意思，在这里是延伸为暂缓、延迟的意思。整句话的意思就是说，当 Prince William 还在 St. Andrews 大学上课的时候，决定先不用其王室的封号，而只用其本名 William Wells。
So these are words that you might not have thought about in that certain way, but perhaps the clearest evidence of the future king's low-key approach. And what is low-key?
Low-key just means he doesn't want to have... Sometimes we say you don't want to have a high profile. It just means you don't want to be noticed by everyone all the time.
Just wants to be an everyday person, not royal.
Okay, and this was his decision to spend this in-between year, between what we call high school and university, this gap year before college, participating in some non-glamorous, non-regal projects.You know, we all think, wouldn't it be nice to do something like with royalty? But they think, wouldn't it be nice to do something like the common people? It's always different, you know, wherever you are. If you're rich, you say, I want to spend time with the poor people. Poor people say, I would like to be rich for a day.
That's
so
right.
It's just the opposite idea. But it's very good that he was willing to do this and be treated just like everybody else. That is not easy to do.
There's an idiom, the grass is always greener on the other side. So it always looks better, somebody else's life.
I think he also wanted to be useful and trained and not just be something people looked up to as a symbol. Do you think so?
Yeah, I think so. I think he was influenced by his mother a lot because his mother would go out and do things like this, you know, talk to the poor. She did a lot for Africa, a lot for the landmines, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm sure he saw that and he felt the same sympathy. He felt the same, you know, his heart went out for the same type of people.
That's right. And Doris, I'm impressed because he will have a job to do. He'll go straight to university. In fact, he's in university now. Isn't
right.
Melissa? Hard, working hard at his studies. And then he will have a job to do when he finishes university. So he could have taken this year and thought, well, this will be my only year to really go and have some fun and just take some time off. But instead, he wanted to use the time to learn, develop some skills,but also to help some people.
Very wise, actually.
I think Diana and Charles did a great job raising these two boys because there's just not a lot of pride, and there could be. They could be very spoiled, but she went out of her way to bring them up like a normal child, not like a normal royal child, a normal everyday child that we can all relate to.
Now, Rick, you have two boys, right?
Yes, I do.
Are they sometimes a bit mischievous?
Yes, they are. They are mischievous, but they don't have bad hearts. They sometimes do naughty things, but it's all in the attitude. They have good hearts, and so you can help overlook the bad things knowing they're not doing it to be very naughty.
Yeah, mischievous sometimes is, like we said, just kind of a sense of humor, of doing funny things, and you want them to be kids or children when they are, but I still think you try to let them see the people around them that need help. And what would you think if one of your sons said he wanted to go clear down to Chile and live in a remote village? Would that worry you a little bit?
Well, it would worry me, but if they were that convicted, if they believed in what they were doing, we would support it.
But it would still be hard for a mother to let her kid go there, I think.
Oh, sure. I think a lot of parents would say, well, have you considered these safety factors? Have you thought about this?
You'd
want to
help
them think it through a little bit. But like you, Rick, I hope that I would be very supportive and say, sure, go for it.
I would even be very proud of them. Wow, you know, they want to do that. Maybe I wouldn't want to do that. Maybe I wouldn't, you know, dare to, but I'd be such a proud mother.
Let's read more about what it was like down there as we finish the article today.
First, William flew to the remote Chilean community of Tortle, where he spent 10 weeks living with other volunteers, his sleeping bag alongside theirs in an old nursery classroom, working on such projects as building wooden walkways and teaching the village children English. He took his turn at cooking and chopping wood, and even got down on his hands and knees to clean the toilets.Then he was off to Africa for 4 months, where he visited the famous Serengeti reserves and studied conservation techniques. His stay there included everything from joining anti-poaching patrols to caring for injured elephants. And in one particularly poignant encounter, he even helped three children deal with their mother's recent death in a car accident. They have been out walking together and talking around the campfire, a friend of the father said. William has been very encouraging and has helped them come to terms with their loss. The fact that he has been through what they have means the children can identify with him.
I guess he's what we would call a good sport, meaning that he was willing to just do what everybody else did and do his share of the work and not say, I don't do that, you know, because I'm royalty. He never had that attitude, did he?
It certainly doesn't sound like it. In fact, it sounds to me like he was very deliberately trying to be like everybody else and not be given special treatment.
He could have easily had several servants down there doing all that work for him. He could have had one of his assistants clean the toilets, but he got down on his hands and knees and did the work himself, which shows you a little bit about his character.
It's got to be one of the most humbling jobs, is cleaning toilets.
That's right.
Probably your girls wouldn't even like to do that.
No one likes to do it,
no.
Much less a prince.
That's right. It's just one of those things, though, to show that you're willing to do your share of what needs to be done. But I think he enjoyed probably teaching the village children English. So he's even an English teacher now,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I think that was a very good project for him to do, don't you?
Melissa? Yeah, actually, I think he would teach them their names as well. He would give them English names and teach them to say their names and then find an animal which had the same first letter as well, so they could learn an animal as well as their own name. He had some great teaching tricks.
So he sounds like a good teacher, Doris, and we know that his mother taught preschoolers or kindergartners right before she married. She was a preschool teacher, so perhaps he inherited some of the teaching abilities that his mother had. And she was very good with young children also, we know.
That's right.
Then he was off to Africa, which is another part of the world, there for 4 months, and he was at this famous Serengeti Reserves. Now, have you all heard of that place?
But
I think we've done articles on it before.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's where they're trying to preserve all of these wild animals, like the elephants, and there's often poachers that go and kill them for the ivory and all. And it's one of these big areas. It's supposed to be a safe place for animals, but it isn't, because poachers are going there all the time. What do poachers do?
Poachers take the animals and use them for their own gain. So they would kill a lion and use his skin to sell on the market.
Well, it's illegal to kill
mm-hmm.
the
yes.
animals, so they go there, they're like thieves. They go there where they're not supposed to and steal the animals, you could say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they may take the animal alive, they may capture it, or they may kill the animal, so often we see, and then just take the body parts that mm-hmm. they want and then put it on the black market or the illegal market.
Right. So he went down to that very famous area in Africa where we think about, where they have all the elephants and some of these animals that we like to see, that there won't be very much longer if the poachers keep on.
Mm-hmm.
So he went down there. And his father was very interested in preserving the things of the world, I think. And he's often spoke out for wildlife and things like that.
That's right. He's even spoken out on behalf of students as well. He has a very great program that he sponsors, that he has lended his name to, helping students to find jobs when maybe their education cannot help them as well. So
he got this from his father and his mother, both, mm-hmm. this love of helping other people, of serving other people, and caring for the animals and the world and conserving things. And one thing it says, he had a very specific encounter, which was pretty interesting.
Yes, he saw some other children who recently lost their mother, and since he had lost his mother a few years before, he was able to share his experience with them. It's poignant, and he brought out his strong feelings, and so he was helping those other children cope with their loss just by sharing some of his own story.
Now, a poignant encounter is a very a strong emotional encounter, isn't it?
That's right. It's very emotional. From the person watching, it might have caused strong emotions to rise up in that person, but also I would think for the children that William was talking with, this was a poignant moment for them. And as I read this, Doris, I thought, who else could have related to these children better than this young man who lived through this experience at a young age.
Because his mother also died in a car accident, mm-hmm. and these kids' mother did. And that's one thing, you know, when you lose someone in your family that you're close to, then it's easier for you to talk to somebody else. If you've lost your mother, you can say, I know what it's like.
But yet again, he didn't have to, did he? By sharing his own feelings, he was making himself vulnerable too, mm-hmm. and he didn't know what these kids would do, how would they react.
Right.
But he just decided, I need to do this, you know, I need to care for them as well. And that shows just another part of his great personality, just the humblingness of his personality.
And it's that humility that endears him to the people even more, because he is not a selfish person. He gives of himself.
And you know, this idea of coming to terms with something is not a very easy thing to do. So Yvonne's going to explain it more to us.
Coming to terms with, 你可以说
making peace with, accepting.
文中可解释成坦然接受.
Now, there's all kinds of losses. There's a loss, you know, of a loved one, of someone passing away. But nowadays, people have a lot of financial losses, too. They've lost all their money on the stock market or their savings. And it's so difficult for them. And if they don't come to terms with this, then sometimes they even commit suicide because they can't come to terms with it. So what does it actually mean, then, to come to terms with something?
Is to realize the problem and then to try to overcome that. So if you have a loss, face the loss and move on. Don't try to hide it.
Mm-hmm. You wonder sometimes where they get some of these words, like to come to terms with. A term is probably this facing this certain situation or this period of time, right?
And dealing with it.
And dealing with it.
And then moving on, as Rick said. But I think that William sets a good example for all of us, Doris. If we see people in need facing different types of loss, we need to give of ourselves a little bit and try to help them.
Yeah, we can definitely use William as a great example to live up to be inspired by the way he's lived his life too. And he didn't have to do all of this, but he did.
That's right.
And he's only 20 years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to see young people to get a good start like that in life. And I think not only is his father and his grandparents and all proud of him, I think the people in England are very happy that the two boys have turned out so well, aren't they?
Mm-hmm, that's right, especially looking at the other grandchildren. Maybe the others have not done this. Mm-hmm. You know, they've wanted to live the lives that they've been given in the royal family, being treated well and everything, and they haven't wanted to do this. So I'm sure their parents are saying, maybe you should be like William too.
Mm-hmm. And so could it be perhaps, Melissa, certainly due in part to Diana's influence in the early years, to try to help them see how the rest of the world lived, to see how boys and girls out there with not so many privileges
have
to live.
Right?
Yeah, I'm sure.
And all parents need to do that, you know, to appreciate what we have. Sometimes we think we don't have everything, but when we look at some of the people that we see in Afghanistan and places in Africa who don't even have a place to sleep, they don't have enough to eat,
and in India.
I think all of us can just really appreciate what we have, and it's good for parents. I don't know if you ever do that, Rick, but, you know, mention to your kids how fortunate they are to have what they have and want to share it with others. Do you do that?
Yes. We often in our prayer time, we just talk about the things that we're thankful for.
Mm-hmm.
And that's whenever you're going through a rough time and you need to come to terms with things, it's often helpful to think about the good things in your life. Mm-hmm. And if the more you think about the good things, the less important the bad things become.
That's
I like this picture we have here today. It says, the princes keep a close and friendly relationship with their dad, Prince Charles. And it looks like they're really trying to be his friend, take care of him. And did you notice here that Harry seems to look an awful lot like his dad
right.
in this picture?
I like this picture because we see a lot of great pictures of William. I think we'll begin to see more pictures of Harry, though, Doris. But I looked at this one, and if you look at the eyes, you just look at the shape of the face, I think he looks very much like his father.
Well, it's time for us to have our little skit for today, but we're so glad that you could be with us for this program as we talk about them. We have one more day. It's going to be an exciting day for all of you because it's the last day of the Lunar New Year. But remember, if you don't get the lesson on the radio, you can listen to it on the MP3. So until then, after the end of our skit, we're going to say goodbye.
Welcome back to the dating game. Let's meet today's bachelorette, that lucky girl who gets to choose which of today's three bachelors she wants to have a date with.
That's right, Mona. 22-year-old Starlight Fares from England. Her family is considered part of the blue-blooded aristocracy.
Ooh.
Starlight is studying literature at Oxford, but still finds time to pursue her hobby. Birdwatching. She enjoys horses, world travel, and skiing. Let's welcome Starlight Fair!
Hi, Starlight. Are you ready to play the dating game?
I think so, Mona.
Okay. You may ask the first question. And remember, listeners, Starlight did not hear the introduction of today's three bachelors, and she cannot see them now. Okay, Starlight.
Bachelor number two, what is your idea of a good time with friends?
Well, Starlight, I just like to have fun. So any time is a good time with friends.
What do you do for fun with friends?
I go skiing or play polo or sometimes we just joke around.
Tune in after the break for the conclusion of today's dating game.